I'm Yusuf, I'll be your host today. This week, US President Joe Biden has said he'll not pass on the responsibility of Afghanistan to a fifth president. It's now been 2 decades since the US invasion of Afghanistan. They've lost 2,000 soldiers and spent $2 trillion. The US has tried to tame the country known as the graveyard of empires, but just like the Soviets and the British Empire previously, has now fallen victim. Now, we've got here Adnan Khan, the founder of Geopolity, to unpack all these issues. How are you, Adnan?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm not too bad. Not too bad. So let's get straight into it. Adnan, what was the US seeking to achieve when it first invaded Afghanistan 2 decades ago?
So thanks for that question. I think that's an important question now because it's been 2 decades since America invaded. And interestingly, a quarter of the US population were not even born when America invaded Afghanistan 2 decades ago. And I think because of what's happened for such a long period, America's original goals, why they went in, a lot of that's been lost. So I think for a lot of people, the Afghan invasion begins with the events of 9/11. We all know what happened on 9/11, the Twin Towers come down. Apparently it was an attack by Al-Qaeda, led by Osama bin Laden, who were given sanctuary by the Taliban regime in Afghanistan. So because they didn't hand over these terrorists, as America called them, America invaded. However, that was really just the pretext. Really, the invasion of Afghanistan and the strategic goals really go back to the 1990s. And I think just to give it a bit of context, it's important here that Afghanistan as a location, as a geography, has always been very important. It straddles South Asia, it has a border technically with the Middle East, and in some ways it's the gateway to Central Asia. That's why it was very important territory for the British Empire, and that's why it was also very important territory for the Soviet Union. Where Afghanistan became important to America was the collapse of the Soviet Union in 1991. When the Soviet Union collapsed and the Soviet Union's borders went all the way back to Russia proper, Central Asia as a region came onto the horizon. And that's really what got the importance and attention of US policymakers. So US policymakers saw Central Asian energy as the new Middle East. However, the problem was, is for a long time, Central Asia was behind the Iron Curtain. And Moscow didn't really develop the energy resources in Central Asia because it was so far away from Russia proper. So when the Soviet Union collapsed and Central Asia emerged as 5 new republics, if I remember, America really had its eyes on the energy resources in this region. The problem was, is this region's landlocked. It doesn't really have any borders with any sea. And the Caspian is also in this region as well. So American policymakers and American energy companies saw the development of new pipelines going from Afghanistan, from Central Asia, from Afghanistan, either via Iran or Pakistan. And in that sense, that's how Central Asia really came onto the horizon. The problem was, is after the collapse of the Soviet Union and obviously the withdrawal of Soviet forces from Afghanistan, the country fell into civil war. And up until 1995, there was no government. The whole country was in a civil war, so it's not really possible to build pipelines. So until 1996, when the Taliban took over, there was no real regime in the country. When the Taliban became the government in Kabul, when they defeated the Northern Alliance forces, America and American companies now had someone to actually deal with. So you can still find images online of Unico, the Californian energy company, inviting Taliban officials to Houston, where they were wined and dined. However, what you find, as the 1990s played out, the Taliban started to drag their feet. They were really uncertain, should they give pipeline contracts to America? And this delay is really where this idea of regime change came up on the horizon. So really, regime change was always on the horizon even before the events of 9/11. 9/11 really just became the pretext in the end. America had its eyes on regime change in Afghanistan because the Taliban were not playing ball. And there's a lot of evidence for this. Even some of the inquiries into why 9/11 happened found the Clinton administration and the Bush administration were already preparing for an invasion and occupation of Afghanistan. So eventually when 9/11 happened, really a lot of the building blocks are already in place for an invasion. 9/11 really became the cover in the end. So in summary, America actually invaded Afghanistan in order to gain access and control the hydrocarbon resources in Central Asia, the transit of these hydrocarbon resources, and really the next Middle East really in the world. That was really the reason why America invaded Afghanistan 2 decades ago.
Going back to 2001, you found that the US did have overwhelming military capability. But how is it that this invasion is just dragged on for so long? It's actually longer than World War One and World War Two combined.
So interestingly, 20 years ago, I was at university at the time, and many people, especially from Russia, were saying it's not a good idea. Countries historically have gone into Afghanistan and they've been marred in insurgency for a long period. In the end, they end up leaving without having really achieved much. The Brits faced that reality, and as we know, the Soviet Union faced that reality as well. So if we look, America's military strategy was, you've got a country of 33 million people. You know, America's got overwhelming force, as you mentioned. America was going to work with the Northern Alliance. It was going to arm them. It was going to work with corrupt warlords to launch an invasion from the north of Afghanistan. And it would remove the regime, the Taliban regime in Kabul. And instead, it will put in place a new regime, which was more in line with American interest. That was the American military strategy. So I think it's important here, the military strategy was a means to an end. It wasn't an end in itself. America wasn't looking to just invade the country and that's the end of it. As I mentioned previously, the goal really was to get Central Asian energy reserves to the international market. So Afghanistan was the means to achieve that. And the military strategy, excuse me, was the way they were going to achieve that. And what America fell into was what everyone's fallen into when they invade Afghanistan. The reality of Afghanistan is it's a rugged terrain, it's mountainous territory. The center of Afghanistan is full of mountains, and around that you have desert. So as you know, when you're fighting in the mountains, you can't be using tanks, you can't be using jeeps, you can't even be using foot soldiers. You're going to have to use helicopters. And what that means is supply lines. You have a massive supply line problem. So America is not in the Eurasian continent. America is on the other side of the world. So America had to fly resources, supply lines, equipment all the way from one side of America to the other. So the longer the war went on, the more risky the supply lines become. In the end, a lot of Taliban's strategy was to attack America's supply lines. So that was one of the main reasons for why the war dragged on for so long. The other reality you've got with Afghanistan is the majority of people do not live in urban centers. They live in the countrysides. And the problem with the countryside is how do you maintain an occupation? You've got many, many villages with great distances between them. And this is where the Soviets failed. The Soviets found they occupied the urban areas, but the majority of the population lived in the rural areas. And that's where they mounted attacks from. The other problem America faced and why it took so long was the failure of intelligence. How do you differentiate between your enemy and the ordinary person? They all look the same. They all live in rural Afghanistan. So here you find America faced significant problems throughout the 2 decades it was there. The third issue America faced and why the war really dragged on was America's a global superpower. It has global priorities. America would never pour all its resources into one region, but it needs to be in every region at the same time. So as we know, America invaded in 2001, and then America invaded another country, Iraq, in 2003. So America had to divert its resources. So it entered into war in one country, then it started a war in another country. And as a result of that, it never really, although it removed the regime in Kabul, it never maintained a full-scale occupation of the country. And that's why really by 2010, by the time Obama came in, the regime in America and American policymakers had concluded that militarily they're not going to win in Afghanistan. And that's why in 2010, the military strategy gave way to the political strategy. And what the political strategy was to engage Afghanistan and engage them in the political process. So in a way, by 2010, America had accepted it cannot militarily defeat Afghanistan. So that's why really this war has turned into America's longest war. It's also the war that ended the Soviet Union, and it's also the war that blunted the British Empire going back to the 1900s.
So you've touched on some of the difficulties that America faced during this war. How did the Taliban use these issues to actually develop their own military strategy, which led to the defeat of the US?
So the Taliban used a strategy that the Afghans have used historically against invading powers, and that is of guerrilla warfare. And because of the terrain of Afghanistan, because it's mountainous, the advantage will always be to the guerrilla. So I think it's important to keep in mind the American military, it is from a doctrine perspective, geared towards engaging in mass infantry invasions and using its technology to subdue the enemy. So it has a clear enemy who has weapons, who has military equipment. So in conventional war, America has superiority. But this was not the war America was fighting in Afghanistan. There was no army. There was no conventional military in Afghanistan when they invaded. What there was guerrillas. What there was unconventional troops. So the advantage the Taliban had was there was no center of gravity for America to attack. There was no central communication node for America to launch missiles at and potentially overtake. What guerrilla warfare is decentralized warfare. You've got small units of fighters who do hit and run attacks. So there's no center of gravity to attack them because there isn't one. And this is a strategy the Afghans have used historically for hundreds of years against foreign invaders. And that's exactly what the Taliban did. When America invaded in 2001, America saw, the Taliban saw America had overwhelming superiority. So what they did was they retreated to the mountains and they retreated over the border into Pakistan. And then they waited for the occupation to begin and then they started their hit and run attacks. So really their strategy was to bleed America to death, which, let's be honest, has actually been achieved. The other advantage the Taliban had, which they used very effectively, is as they're indigenous to the region, they know the people, they know the terrain. So they have an intelligence advantage. America always had to use bribes. It always had to reach out to corrupt warlords in the country in order to get intelligence. And that's why it was very easy for the Taliban to regain territory, which they kept losing. They lost Kandahar. They lost Helmand, and you find they either regained these territories or they made it hell for America to actually occupy. So because the Taliban are from the country and because they have grassroots support, they use this to their advantage. Because America was superior when it came to military technology, that was fine if they're fighting China or Russia, but you're fighting an enemy who's really using Kalashnikovs, who's using hit-and-run attacks. So America's advantage was actually useless in the battlefield that they were engaged in.
So you mentioned that the Taliban employed guerrilla tactics, and this has been something that Afghanistan has done in the past. Is this because of their cultural background? Is it because they're very tribal? Is it because of the nature of the country? Is it something that you would find change in the future?
So historically, because Afghanistan has been invaded by empires. You know, the Persians invaded them, the Mughals invaded them, the British invaded them, the Soviets invaded them. They've always faced enemies which are far superior to them in terms of capability. They've got more weapons, they've got more troops. So what they've done historically is rather than fight at the advantage of the enemy, they looked at what would work to their advantage. So guerrilla warfare is what's always worked to their advantage, and that's what they've actually done. So you could argue, you know, to do with geography, there's a bit of culture as well. Now, potentially this could change in the future if Afghanistan establishes a proper government and is able to rule over the whole country. But what you find historically is no one's really been able to govern Afghanistan, even from within the Afghan people. You find Kandahar is very far from Kabul. Kunduz is very far from other areas of Afghanistan. So what you find is that's why even today, Afghanistan is largely a rural country. where you've got villages who are separated from each other. So as a result, this to conquer the whole country and to rule over it has always been very, very difficult. And that's why many, many empires have fallen victim into this country, which is considered the graveyard of empires.
Now, this war has been going on for, like you said, 2 decades, and the Taliban has existed pre that date anyway. Now, that's something, that's quite a long time for most people. I mean, I was still in school back then, so I don't really know much about the Taliban. Could you share some insight into their history, what kind of pushed them, motivates them to work?
Okay, so the Taliban really emerged as Mujahideen who fought the Soviet Union when they invaded the country, which was from 1979 to 1989. So America and the CIA, they provided lots of funding and training via Pakistan's ISI for Mujahideen to go into the mountainous areas of Afghanistan and into mainland Afghanistan and to engage in guerrilla warfare with the Soviet Union. So the Mujahideen were primarily from Afghanistan and the tribal areas between Pakistan and Afghanistan. And then also many people came from other parts of the world. When the Soviet Union left in 1989, what you find was there was obviously still many Mujahideen who were around. They were from Afghanistan. And what you find, the country fell into a civil war between the ethnic northern people, so Tajiks, Uzbeks, and that is what cobbled together the Northern Alliance. And then you had the Pashtun population, who were from the central and the south of the country. So a civil war ensued. What actually happened was, is Pakistan's ISI established lots of mosques and madrasas along the Durand line, which is the border between Afghanistan and Pakistan. And when the civil war was going on, they supported and armed the students from these madrasas to begin to take part in the civil war. So Taliban, it comes from Talib, which means student. So the Taliban were students from these madrasas. So in 1994, they unified. And even today, the Taliban really is a collection of different individuals, groups, and tribes. So they usually say Shura. Shura means consultation. So the Taliban is really an umbrella name for a number of different madrasas who came together to fight in the civil war. So in 1995 to 1996, they were able to come out of Kandahar and they overtook Kabul and then they ruled over the most of the country. So that continued until 2001 when America invaded the country. So that's really the background of the Taliban. So the Taliban are Pashtun, the indigenous people from that country. They are integrated into Pakistan to a large degree. Pakistan supported them, it armed them. Arguably, officers within the ISI and some within the army still support the Taliban. But the Taliban are really a Pashtun movement. Yeah, they're really Afghan-based. They're different to what's called the Pakistan Taliban, who are from the mountainous areas in the north of Pakistan, next to the border of Afghanistan. But they are from the Pakistan side. The Afghan Taliban, as they're known, although they may have originally come from Pakistan, they are Pashtun and they are primarily based in Afghanistan.
Now, with the US pulling out of Afghanistan, does it actually mean that the US is abandoning its strategic goals or is it looking for something else?
So your question really being worded correctly, and I think this has been lost in a lot of the media this week. There's a lot of people saying America's leaving. America's military strategy of invading Afghanistan was always a means to an end. It was never an end in itself. And 10 years ago, America worked out that the military strategy will not allow them to achieve their strategic goals. The military strategy has failed. So from 10 years ago, America really began with a new political strategy. So really, America's disengagement is really just their military leaving the country. But America's strategic goals was never to occupy, to invade, occupy, remain in the country. Afghanistan was a means to an end, which was Central Asia. America wanted to bring stability to this country. It wanted to bring it under its strategic control and then to get Central Asia's energy reserves to go through this country to the rest of the world. So America's departure is just the military leaving because they are no longer effective in the country. In fact, they're sitting ducks in the country, so they are no longer able to achieve America's strategic goals. That's why they're actually being withdrawn. What America's doing now is it's reorienting in the country. It's not abandoning Afghanistan. In fact, what America's strategy has been is to engage the surrounding countries to maintain the government it established in Kabul. And it's done this in a number of ways. The first way it's done this is to engage Pakistan. It's engaged Pakistan to control the support of the Taliban from the tribal areas and to bring the Taliban to the negotiating table. So that's the role Pakistan's played. Iran and Russia have also played their role in Afghanistan. Iran and America, interestingly, are on the same page in Afghanistan. Iran had problems with the Taliban in the past. So when America invaded, Iran actually provided intelligence to America. It supported America's invasion. And Iran's actually taking part in reconstruction in Afghanistan. And as we know, Iran shares a border with Afghanistan, and the north of Afghanistan is integrated into Iran. Russia, interestingly, provided America with supply lines. It provided it with access to its territory to get its supplies into Afghanistan. But interestingly now, the Taliban are actually having open talks with Russia. They've put the history behind them, despite what happened in the 1980s. So Russia believes that the Taliban need to come to a negotiating table in order for Afghanistan to be stable. And then you've got India and China. India historically has supported the Northern Alliance. So the Northern Alliance is really the people that are in government in Kabul, the American-backed government. And China in 2010 became very interested in Afghanistan when lots of energy and lots of mineral wealth was found in Afghanistan. And they've concluded, unless there's a stable government in Afghanistan, there's no way they can get access to these mineral wealth. So they've supported the American-backed government in Kabul. So all of this shows you is America's military is departing. America itself is not departing. When America only has about 2,500 troops, which is not a lot. America's real strategy of controlling Afghanistan is by having an American-backed government in Kabul, by having the surrounding countries do some of the heavy lifting. And keep in mind, America still has 10,000 contractors in Afghanistan. America still has CIA in Afghanistan. America still has many non-military personnel in Afghanistan. So although America's military is going to leave, they're leaving because they're sitting ducks. America's presence will still remain in the country because America's not abandoning its strategic goals.
Well, I guess the big question is, when the US leave, is the government going to actually be able to keep power? Is the Taliban going to actually move in and overthrow the government in Kabul? Will they still play ball with America? What's the future for Afghanistan?
So if you had asked me this question 10 years ago, I would have said absolutely yes. The moment America go, the Taliban already control more than half the country. They control the countrysides or have more control than the regime. They just need to control some of the urban centers where the regime is. If you'd asked me this 10 years ago, absolutely, the moment America moves out, we're going to get what happens in Vietnam. The American-backed government will fall and the Taliban will take over. But the Taliban today is the different. It's a different Taliban to the Taliban of 2001 that America faced. In 2015, it was revealed that Mullah Omar, the leader of the Taliban, passed away. And he didn't pass away in 2015 when it was announced. He actually passed away 2 years before in 2013. So for 2 years, the Taliban were giving orders to their soldiers. They were engaging with the international community, not with Mullah Omar there, but without actually a leader. Now, this caused a lot of tension within the Taliban because basically even the Taliban's members weren't told that their leaders actually passed away. So in 2015, they had a leadership election and it was quite a fraught leadership election. And at that point, the Taliban decided that it needs to really change its strategy of purely working with Pakistan only. So what the Taliban did was the leader of the Taliban, he reached out to Iran and actually went to Iran. He actually went to Tehran and set up an office. The Taliban set up an office in the UAE, in Oman, which is the office America's been negotiating them with. And the Taliban even went to Moscow and opened up talks with Moscow as well. So the Taliban were winning on the battlefield. They're defeating the enemy. There's actually no need for them to negotiate. But they've fallen prey now to negotiating from a winning position. So that's why America, really, since 2010, has actually been negotiating through various guises with the Taliban. So when Donald Trump came to power, he got Khalid Zalmazi to be the American representative. And him representing America managed to agree a deal with the Taliban, which was that the Taliban would enter into some coalition government with the American-backed government, so long as America removes its troops. And these troops' removal, America has been constantly delaying. So the deadline was actually May, which now has been delayed up until September. So really, the Taliban of today is not the Taliban of 2001. And what America's done is politically, it's promised some portfolios to the Taliban if they enter into government. And on condition to that, America's prepared to militarily leave the country. So the American strategy seems to be, militarily, we're not going to win. If we can get the Taliban engaged politically to the regime, you're then going to be able to stifle their real power, which was to fight and remove the actual government. So America's pretty confident that this strategy will work. It remains to be seen if it will work. However, definitely America's made some progress in this direction. So will the American-backed government in Kabul fall when they leave? I'm not sure. Purely because the Taliban have engaged in talks where they're prepared to enter into government if some of their conditions are met. So yeah, it remains to be seen really if that's actually achieved. It's possible still. The Taliban could do a U-turn on what they've agreed with America, which would be very embarrassing for America. But for 10 years now, they've been engaging politically with America. So yeah, it remains to be seen really.
Is there really anything else that could complicate matters for the US in Afghanistan? Other countries maybe, other groups?
So considering the Soviet Union bled to death in the country because America backed the opposition, so any of the surrounding countries could have really increased their support of the Taliban and bled America. But you find Russia didn't do this. In fact, Russia sided with America because really Russia lacks the capability to challenge America's global position. China really, up until 2010, it wasn't really even a global power or all-powerful country. Since 2010, it has grown more powerful, but China's not really involved or it's not really prepared to engage very far from the Chinese mainland. So although it engages economically much of the world, you find politically it doesn't really engage much in the world. So you're right, any of the surrounding countries, if they were to increase their support for the Taliban could easily overthrow the regime in Kabul, and that would create a massive problem for America. In the current circumstances, considering China poses such a threat to America, this would be a viable strategy for China to pursue. But, you know, this is where China really is lacking. On the political sphere, China really presents very little. We have very little political strategies to challenge America. You only see China with political strategies in Southeast Asia. In the other parts of the world, China really just reduced itself to economic relations and commercial relations. And in much of the world, it doesn't even really bump up to America. They don't even really come across each other in most parts of the world. Because in most parts of the world, China really has very little political goals. So whilst the surrounding countries have got the advantage, they could really bleed America here. None of them have really done that.
Okay. Well, thank you for your time today, Adnan. I hope the listeners enjoyed this. If you guys want to learn more about this issue or other issues, you can access our website, www.thegeopolity.com, all one word, where you can find other issues and comprehensive insights. I'm Yusuf. Thank you for listening. Take care.